Well, good evening. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come before your throne this evening, I pray that you would bless our time together. I pray for your guidance as we look into your word, that we may glean from it insights into your love and care for us each day. I pray for your blessings upon your word as it goes out, and that you would be glorified and receive all the praise. For you alone are worthy, and I give you thanks and praise. I pray also for those who cannot be here tonight, that you would watch over them and keep them close to you and give them strength for each day. And I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, if you would turn with me now, please, to the reading for tonight, Revelation in chapter 5, and starting in verse 8. And I will be reading from the New American Standard. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Well, it seems that true spiritual worship is one of the many needed growths in our personal lives as well as in some churches today. There is an emphasis on witnessing for Christ and working for Christ. But I know that in my life, worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ can always have improvement. To worship means to ascribe worth or value. As we saw in verse 9, where it says, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It means to use all that we are and all that we have to praise God for all that he is and all that he does. It means to recognize he is the creator of all things, and we would not even exist if it were not for him. In quoting a quote from Jerry Bridges in his book, The Joy of Fearing God, he wrote, quote, What is worship? In Scripture, the word worship is used to denote both an overall way of life and a specific activity. when the prophet Jonah said in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." He was speaking of his whole manner of life. In contrast, in Psalm 100 and verse 2, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." The psalmist there speaks of a specific activity of praising God. This is the sense in which we normally would use the word worship today. And these two concepts of worship, a broad one and a more narrow, specific one, corresponds to the two ways by which we glorify God. We glorify God by ascribing to him the honor and adoration due him, the narrow concept of worship. And we glorify God by reflecting his glory to others, the broader way of life, manner of worship, unquote. Well, heaven is a place of worship, and we, being God's people, shall worship him throughout all eternity. But why wait until then? Why not now? As we look at Revelation in chapter 4, and in the verses that I've chosen for tonight in chapter 5, we can begin to understand the worship that was and is taking place in heaven, directed towards God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and how we should honor him with the glory that he deserves. Before God pours out his wrath upon the earth, he gives us a glimpse into glory and permits us to hear all of the worshiping creation in heaven as they praise God. In chapter 5, the focus has shifted from chapter 4, where the multitudes in heaven are praising God the Creator, to praising the sacrificial Lamb, the Redeemer, who is worthy to receive the scroll. Pastor Will reminded us last Sunday that the scroll could be seen as a script detailing the coming events where Jesus returns to rule over the earth. Well, that scroll could also be seen as a representation of Christ's title deed to the kingdom and to all the Father had promised him because of his sacrifice on the cross. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, as we have been learning in our Sunday morning studies in Revelation, are all part of God's wrath rolled up into the scroll. As God prepares for his son to reign over his inheritance. In Psalm 2 and verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations of your as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possessions." Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, as it says in Hebrews in verse 2. The title deed or will can be opened only by the appointed heir, and this is Jesus Christ. No one else in the universe could be found worthy to break the seals. He is our beloved kinsman redeemer who was willing to give his life to set us free from bondage and to restore our lost inheritance. The redeemer had to be near of kin, willing to redeem and able to redeem. Jesus meets all of these qualifications. He became flesh, so he is our kinsman. He loves us and is willing to redeem us, and he paid the price through his sacrifice and his blood, so he is able to redeem us. Through the redemptive power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to enter into the worship experience described in Revelation in chapter 5. When we reflect on these verses in Revelation, there is a notable reasons for why the Lamb is worthy of our worship. First of all, Jesus is shown worthy of our worship because of his identifying titles. In verses 5 and 7 of chapter 5, Jesus is given three titles to classify him as unique in his character. First, he is identified as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This references way back into Genesis chapter 49 and verses 8 and 10, where it was Jacob prophesied of Judah and of his descendants. He said, "Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you." Judah is a lion's whelp. "From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." In this Old Testament verse, it is saying the tribe of Judah would be the tribe of kings. And as Paul said in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 15, that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The image of the lion speaks of dignity, sovereignty, courage, and victory. Jesus Christ is the only living Jew who can prove his kingship from genealogical records. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The second title given him in regards to his identity is in verse 5, where he's identified as the Root of David. As far as his humanity is concerned, Jesus had his roots in David. For as it was written in Isaiah 11:1, "Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit." But as far as his deity is concerned, Jesus is the Root of David, which speaks of his existence before time began, the Ancient of Days. How the Messiah could be both David's Lord and David's son was a problem Jesus presented to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22 in verses 42 through 46, where he asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "Then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" Well, Jesus used that verse that originally came from Psalm of David in Psalm 110, where he was explaining that the Messiah was David's human descendant and his divine Lord. He was the Root of David. Well, the third title given to our Lord Jesus Christ in regards to his identity is in verse 6, where he's identified as the Lamb. He was described earlier as the Lion, but now seen as a Lamb. Well, we can discern from that Lamb is John's title of choice for the Lord in the book of Revelation. The common phrase, "the Lord, the Lamb of God," a Greek synonym is used. The Greek word used is arnion. It's a diminutive word from the word arain, which means a little pet lamb or a precious lamb. And consequently, the term arnion is unique to John in the book of Revelation and in the New Testament as a title for the Lord Jesus. And Jesus Christ is called the Lamb, the Arnion, at least 28 times in the book of Revelation. The subject of the Lamb is a thread throughout the Bible. From Genesis 22:7, when Isaac asked the question of his father, "Where is the Lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered him, saying, God will provide for himself the lamb. To the announcement in John 1:29 by John the Baptist, when he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we see here in Revelation chapter 5 that the angels in heaven sing, Worthy is the Lamb. The description of the Lamb in Revelation in chapter 5 and verse 6 expresses a spiritual truth about our Savior. He is standing. He shows the signs of being slain, and yet he is alive. The number 7 in the Bible can be seen as the number of perfection. So therefore, we can determine that the Lamb has perfect power, as seen in the 7 horns, and perfect wisdom, as seen in the 7 eyes, and perfect presence, as seen in the 7 spirits in all the earth. Some theologians would call these qualities omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And all three are the attributes of God. The Lamb is God, the Son, Christ Jesus. We can see by these titles that we should worship Jesus Christ because of who he is, his unique identity and character. But there is another reason why we should worship him. Jesus is worthy of our worship because of where he is seen, where he resides. John said in verse 6 that he saw between the throne and the 4 living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain. The Lamb of God is in heaven. He is in the midst of the throne of God. He is not in Jerusalem or on the cross or in the tomb. He was slain, but now he's alive. The word slain literally means cut in the throat for a sacrifice. Jesus Christ was not merely killed, he was offered up as a sacrifice. He has ascended and is exalted in heaven. To know that our Savior is in the midst of all that transpires in heaven is truly praiseworthy. All creation, the 4 living creatures, and the 24 elders, and the angels around the throne encircle the Savior and praise him, for he has overcome death, and God has turned his suffering to glory. So we worship the living and reigning Lamb of God because of his unique identity and character, because he is alive and in the midst of all of heaven, but we should not stop there. We can see that Jesus is worthy of our worship because of what he is doing on our behalf. In verses 8 through 10, the Lamb stepped forward and took the scroll, and the weeping stopped and the praises began. The 4 living creatures and the 24 elders, all in one accord, began to sing a new song, a song of praise joined together with prayers, the prayers of the saints. And what kind of song did they sing? Well, the verse says that it's a new song. Well, this is the second song of praise in these chapters of Revelation. The first one is in chapter 4 in verse 11 and was a song of God's work of creation. But this time it's focusing on God's work of redemption. Through all scripture in the Bible, a new song could be seen as a song of redemption or a song of salvation. Going to the Psalms, we can see in Psalm 96 in verses 1 and 2, where it reads, Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. And in Psalm 144, in verses 9 and 10, David proclaimed, "I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword." We'll take in another comment about out of a section out of Barnes' notes, which regarding the new song, he wrote that it was, quote, "new in the sense that it is a song consequent on redemption and distinguished, therefore, from songs sung in heaven before the work of redemption was consummated. We may suppose that songs of adoration have always been sung in heaven. We know that the praises of God were celebrated by the angelic choirs when the foundations of the earth were laid." And we can see that in Job 38:7. "But the songs of redemption was a different song, and is one that would never have been sung there if man had not fallen and if the Redeemer had not died. This song strikes notes which the other songs do not strike, and refers to glories of the divine character, which, but for the work of redemption, would not have been brought into view. In this sense, the song was new. It will continue to be new in the sense that it will be sung afresh as redeemed millions continue to ascend to heaven," unquote. This new song is also a song of worship. "For they say, Thou art worthy." And as I said earlier, to worship is to ascribe worth or value. And the Lord Jesus Christ alone is worthy to be praised. This song declares of his sacrifice. It declares of our redemptive purchase by his blood. And it declares that it was for those from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation who would believe and trust in him. This song also declares his sanctification upon those who persevere. "For he will make them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." In verses 11 through 14, we see an ever-increasing group of worshipers. Beginning in 11, joined with the four living creatures and the 24 elders, are myriads of myriads and thousands of angels declaring Jesus Christ's worthiness of all praise for the possessions acclaimed and inherited to him. They declare in verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." A sevenfold declaration of his worthiness, perfect worthiness, of which he is worthy to receive because of his sacrificial death on the cross. The worship service climaxes with all creation of the universe praising the Lamb of God and the Father who sits on the throne. They are in unison declaring blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. John MacArthur wrote in his commentary, quote, "Endless blessing, endless honor, endless praise, endless glory, and endless worship belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The creation is unable to contain its joy over its imminent redemption." I ask myself, should not our lives reflect that same joy in worship of our Lord? And does our way of life and our manner of worship bring honor to God the Father and the Lamb of God? Worship should be our only response, that of thanksgiving and praise for all that he has done for us. He is the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was slain, and yet he lives, standing in the midst of the throne of God. And he is our Redeemer, who is worthy to be honored and praised. Shall we pray? Our dear Lord God, our Father, as we gather in remembering and honoring our Lord Jesus Christ this evening at his communion table, help us to reflect on the worthiness of our Savior, on his unique character and identity. Help us to reflect on where he is right now in the midst of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf, and has provided for us redemption that we may partake in the giving of praise and sing the new song that is sung in heaven. We proclaim that you, Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain for our iniquities, are worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Help us to worship you in our way of life and when we gather in your name. For it is in your precious name that we pray. Amen.